Well, thank you so much. It's great to be with you again this evening. It seems like it's been a long time since we were here last, but it's always great to be here, and we enjoy the fellowship with you so much. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I had the privilege last Sunday morning and this morning to speak at Exeter, at the chapel in Exeter, and I've been looking at Isaiah chapter 9 with the believers there, and I found that a really encouraging chapter as we looked through the first 7 verses of Isaiah together over the last 2 Sunday mornings. And I was struck time and time again at going through Isaiah chapter 9 at the various names that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in that prophecy that was given in verse 2, it's spoken of that he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he came as a light. The Bible tells us, and Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. He also said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But now that he's not here in flesh, we are the light of the world. And what a special time of the year it is for us to shine as lights. As we were driving up this evening, we noticed a lot of Christmas lights. It's always, to me, it's such a happy time of the year when you see the lights and the brightness of the lights and the colors of the lights. And it just, to me, it's a great testimony of the true light that came into the world, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at a number of things with you this evening. I'm going to use Luke chapter 2 just to read the Christmas story to you, and I know that you're familiar with it. And I'm not really going to preach from Luke chapter 2 because I want to go all over the Bible. I've really been thinking a lot the last number of days on why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. A number of weeks ago, that question was asked in a Bible study, why did Jesus come into the world? And I'm sure that already you have a response in your mind, something that you would automatically say if you were asked that question. Why did Jesus come into the world? Probably the majority of you said, well, he came to save sinners, or he came to die. And that's true. But there are many reasons that the Bible tells us he came into this world. In John 18:37, it says that he came bear witness to the truth. When the question was asked him, are you king? And he responded, you better believe it. That's why I came. I came to bear witness to the truth. And that's what the scriptures predicted. That's what the prophecies were, that I would come and I would reign. I would sit on the throne of David and I would reign as king over Israel. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophecies there's a twofold significance. In the fact that a child was born, a son was given, and his ministry of his first coming to be a light in the world, and then the ministry of his second coming to live, to reign, to govern this world. But there are many other reasons why he came. Let me read from Luke chapter 2, the story that you're familiar with this time of year. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And God does bless the reading of his word. As we read this passage of scripture, we're reminded of the cradle, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was back in 1927 that RCA Victor, perhaps you've heard of RCA, a big company that makes made record players and so on, they patented a phrase, a saying, and it's been used by other companies, but that they held that patent until 1967. And the patented phrase was, the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, it's a very catchy phrase. And you probably heard that in advertisements, especially those of us of the older generation that are here. You can probably remember the advertisements of RCA when they would advertise that. But, you know, there were times when that gift didn't keep on giving. Because the record player would break down. Or there would be problems. But there is a gift that keeps on giving. And that gift was God's gift to the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. That gift will never fail you. That gift keeps on giving. And that gift is what we find wrapped in our Christmas season. No, we don't know exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ was born as far as a day is concerned. Was it December 25th? We don't know. We really have no idea. But I think it's important that we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And it's an opportunity we have to take advantage of a time that the world, even when we think of some of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. And we think about that name and there's the cry of everybody's heart for peace. In fact, throughout history, major wars over the last several hundred years have always had a truce, usually a 24-hour truce for Christmas, a peace truce. Usually didn't last, but the thought was there of peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he came that we might have peace with God. But when you think of this season, we normally think and automatically think of the cradle. We think of that manger. We think of the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the birth really was just the beginning. Do we realize that without the cradle, there would be no cross? God sent his Son into the world to bear the cross, to die for your sin, for my sin, on Calvary. He had to become man. Who is this one we're speaking about? Emmanuel, God with us. He came. His name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. He came with a purpose. He was born into this world as a man, as a boy, a person. But he came to die. But you know, without the cross, we would not have a hope. The cradle leads us to the cross. But the cross leads us to the crown, to the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's so much wrapped up in this season that we often fail to think about. And I would encourage you during this Christmas season to take time, to spend time, and to really think about why the Lord Jesus Christ came. I want to give to you, as I said earlier, a number of reasons that he came. Reasons, I'm sure that when you stop to think about them, you would automatically know. And you could probably add to the list that I'm going to give to you. As I've worked through this list a number of times, going through the scriptures over the last number of days, I've had the list clear up as high as 30-some reasons why he came. And then I've narrowed it down some because I began to look for specific words and so on. So I want to give you a number of reasons why Jesus came. And I want us to turn to those scriptures and read them this evening. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, and this is the beloved Apostle Paul as he is speaking. The Apostle Paul makes this statement. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." You can probably finish the verse from here. What does it say? That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul understood very clearly, and for him personally, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. How many of you qualify tonight? Yeah. Some of the kids are brave enough to raise their hands. They understand that. Yeah, we've all sinned. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. For all have sinned. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know those scriptures. But it's a reminder this season, he came to save sinners. There again are many other places that remind us of that very fact. To put it another way, the writer of Mark, John Mark, in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, if you want to turn there, tells us why Jesus came. It relates to what we've just said, but Mark said in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, my pages aren't wanting to turn tonight. He said, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" And so Jesus said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." Again, do you qualify? But maybe more importantly, have you repented? Again, today, and so often we hear in the preaching of the gospel, we do not hear the message of repentance given in the gospel. Yet I believe it's a very important part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. He came to call sinners to repentance. We also read, and you're familiar with this, and it couples right along with it, but in Luke chapter 19, the Lord Jesus again says why he came into this world. Luke 19 and verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Okay. So again, did you qualify? Were you lost? Were you separated from God? No way to find your own way to heaven or to get to heaven? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now that's a basic reason. I've used four different scriptures, but they all tell us he came, or for this reason I have come into this world. Why did he come? He came to save sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I am so thankful this morning, or this evening, that the Lord Jesus Christ came with that express purpose. In fact, when we read about it in Philippians chapter 2, one of the great theological texts on the incarnation, and you read and go through that passage of scripture, you find out that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him, and you go through that passage of scripture, and then it says, and he was obedient unto death, even the most cruel death of all, the death of the cross. See, he had to come and die in order that we might live. Another reason, though, if you want to turn back to the Gospel of Mark, that the Lord Jesus came into this world, in Mark chapter 10, he states again a reason for his coming. Mark 10. You can quote it again, I'm sure. But verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did he come? Well, there's two reasons mentioned here. The second we've sort of already covered. To give his life a ransom. To pay the redemption price for us. But it says he came not to be served, but to serve. The Lord Jesus Christ came to serve. And what an example he is. He came into this world to demonstrate the true purpose of life, especially for those who are his followers. He came to serve. And if you know him as your personal Savior, you have been well served, haven't you? How he provides, how he cares, how he loves each one of us. He came to serve. We've already mentioned John 18, verse 37. He came into this world to be king and to bear witness to the truth. John 18, 37. When Pilate asked him the question, said to him, "Are you a king then?" Very pointed question, because that was part of the charge that had been made against the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say in answer to that? He answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born." Now again, you perhaps have received an email that has gone around, and I've seen it before, but a picture of a cradle, and it says, "The true king-size bed." You know? Because a king was born that day. He came, he says, "To that end I was born, for this cause I came into the world." And I can tell you that someday he is going to reign here on earth as King of Kings for 1,000 years. That was a purpose of his coming. But it also tells us here, he came that he should bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So again, he tells us why he came into this world. And then if we go to John chapter 6, verse 38, another wonderful reason that Jesus came into the world. John 6 and verse 38. He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. Again, it's interesting if you read both in the Old Testament and as well as the book of Hebrews. It says, "Lo, in the volume of the book that is written of me." And what was written? That he's come to do God's will. And what was God's will? You remember the night that he was betrayed? You remember his prayer? Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And when I think of that, I think of Isaiah 53. Those harsh words that we read. It pleased the Father to bruise him. That was God's will. So that you and I could have life eternal and life abundant. He came to do the will of the Father. We've also mentioned as well in John 8:12, in Isaiah 9:2, and John 12:46, Jesus Christ came into the world to be a light in the world. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. But in John 12:46, I am come, he said, a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He came to be the light. Do you believe that the world is in darkness? Boy, just read the news. Just listen to what's going on. The world is in darkness. But he's the light. And he came so that men do not have to walk in darkness. We also read in John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I can still remember years and years ago a tract that was written, and it was entitled, Suppose It's True, It's Not True After All. Suppose it's not true after all. Just think about it for a minute. I think that most of you here tonight have made a profession of faith. You profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And suppose when you die, it's not been true. Jesus really wasn't the Son of God. Jesus didn't really die to purchase your redemption. It was just one of those vain philosophies that some man came up with sometime in history, and we've bought into it. You want to know something? I still think that even if it weren't true, you and I, as believers, have the best life that can be lived on planet Earth. Do you ever think about it? You know? He's come to give us life. But not just life, abundant life. He's given you help, the Holy Spirit. He's given you His Word. He loves you. He cares for you. He provides for you. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the life that we have as believers. Now, I can tell you, it is true. I'm not questioning that at all. But it makes you stop and think. Even if it's not true. I think that's one of the things I want to argue with the Holy Spirit about when I get to heaven, is why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we're of all men most miserable. I tell you, I don't think I'm most miserable. I mean, I may act miserable sometimes, but I still think I wouldn't trade my life for anything. When I look around at people that and I've had a long life, and I thank the Lord for it. But I look around and to think, you know, of the things that I have been saved from just because of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been a great life. I have so much to thank God for. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a satisfaction, a contentment that I don't see in people who do not know Christ. Why he came to give me not just eternal life, but abundant life. And what a full, rich life we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. In John chapter 9, he also makes another statement. And basically, I can take this statement and make it negative, and I can go another place and make it a positive statement. But in John chapter 9, verse 39, he said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see me may see, and those who see may be made blind. For judgment I came into this world." And so we're told that. He came for judgment. But then you read another place in the scriptures, and we find out that he says, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world." So on the one hand, his coming, he came to judge the world. That those who would see, they just wouldn't understand. And yet, he said, "I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world." But then if you go on in John, a little bit further in John, it tells us further that all judgment's been given unto him. And someday, every person is going to stand and give an account. Believers at the judgment seat of Christ, and non-believers at the great white throne judgment. And every man's going to be judged. So he didn't come to judge the world in the sense of condemning it at that point. He came to save the world. But by the same token, his very coming was judgment to the world and for the world. Then we also read in the scriptures, and I found this a really interesting one as I was going through and trying to make up my list of why Jesus came into the world. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, and it's also repeated in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns and I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." He says, "I've come to preach." It's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? I have come to preach, to proclaim. And what did he come to proclaim? The good news that the kingdom of God was at hand. To proclaim the good news that there was salvation available. To proclaim that there was light to those who sat in darkness. To proclaim the good news. Then we can go further and we read in John chapter 12, verse 27. I guess I should have kept all the Gospels together and gone through John and then to the others instead of this hopping around. But in John chapter 12, verse 27. Oops, not the right verse. I can't remember the reference. Somebody, maybe you can even look it up if you've got a concordance. But it says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I came unto this hour." That is, what am I looking at then? Oh, yeah. "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from the hour. But for this..." It's the glasses, you know. No, sorry about that. It's the right reference. All right. But he says, "I came for this hour, for this very purpose in this world." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17... we have still stated another reason that Jesus came. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. All right? He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill all that the prophets had said. When you think about that, how many prophecies can you think of right offhand that you have read probably in the last 2 weeks with your Sunday school program last Sunday and with the Christmas messages and so on? The number of prophecies. You know, you can begin to go through the seed of the woman, born in Bethlehem, virgin birth, a son given, you know, a child born. All of these prophecies, he's fulfilled. He came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. And one of the greatest evidences that we have of the inspiration, the authority of the Scriptures, is fulfilled prophecy. And the fact that when Jesus came, he fulfilled exactly what was said. And he did not do away with the law, he fulfilled the law in every respect. And then we go a little bit further. And this is a really negative one, and I was reluctant to put it in the list, and yet it's there in the Bible in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verses 34 and 35. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. And again, I sit here and scratch my head. Wait a minute, you're the Prince of Peace. And you said that my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. And obviously, he came that we could have peace with God. And he came that we could have peace from God. And we could have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. And yet he makes this statement. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. And it goes on. Sometimes there's counting the cost if you're going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not going to bring peace. That's going to bring division quite often. Thankfully, I never experienced that division with my family. But I can still go back to a point in time. Really, not that I was a perfect child. Don't want to give that idea whatsoever. But I was an obedient son. I respected my parents. I obeyed my parents for the most part. You know, I don't think any of us could ever say 100%. But I can still remember the day that I went to my dad and said, Dad, I believe the Lord has called me to the mission field. And I can still remember my dad shaking his head and saying, no. You can serve the Lord right here. And it's the hardest thing I ever had to do is say, Dad, I have to obey God. Thankfully, very quickly, everything was okay. My father understood. But that's not so for a lot of people. A lot of people, it divides families. Are you willing to count that cost? To be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in a sense, he came to be a divider, if necessary. We also read, though, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, he came into the world to demonstrate God's love. 1 John 4, 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son. All right? So why did he come into the world? God sent him into the world. And God sent his son into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. See, he came because the Father sent him. And again, there's a number of references. He came to be the propitiation because that's what the Father sent him to do. The Father sent him into the world in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God sent the Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. The Father sent the Son, according to Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Unto you, first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now you talk about a blessing. God sent his Son to bless you. And how did he bless you and how did he bless me? By turning away our iniquities. Is that not a blessing? Wow. Think about it. And so then God sent his Son to redeem us from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Why? To redeem us from the curse of the law. Wow. So when you go through, why did Jesus come? Because the Father sent him. And the Father sent him with a purpose. Here's one I think that's very important. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Do you realize, though we have three great enemies in this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. The victory has already been won in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we simply need to enter in and enjoy the victory that he has given us. We also read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, that Jesus Christ came into the world so we could know him who is true. So we could know him who is true. We also read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus Christ came into this world to become our high priest. Hebrews 2:17, for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. He came. Why? So he could be a faithful high priest. Are you not thankful this evening that there's one who ever lives to make intercession for us? There is one who is our go-between, our mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. During this Christmas season, though we celebrate the birth, remember, that birth was for a purpose. He came. And all that we enjoy as believers is because Christ came. I'm thankful this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the cradle. But I'm thankful that when he came into this world, he was willing to go to the cross. But I'm thankful because of the cross. I stand before you this evening with a message of hope and a message of life. And it's all wrapped up in a beautiful gift that keeps on giving. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not just one gift, it's unlimited gift in him. I trust that during this season, your focus will be on the one alone who is worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege this evening of just once again considering why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Father, we celebrate his coming, but often we get so taken up with just a little baby, that we forget that that baby was the infinite God who became finite man without sin. Father, the one who is called Mighty God, and yet he was totally dependent. And Father, as he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man, his purpose became more clear and more pointed as to why he came into this world. He came to die, to be our Redeemer, to save us, and Father, to give us hope. And so our Christmas season is not just a celebration of a birth. It's a celebration of a death that gives us hope and gives us life. Life eternal and life abundant. We are blessed to know him and to make him known. We thank you for this season where we can show him forth to a dark world. Thank you in Jesus' name.